But we'll go ahead on with the lesson. Since there's no one right now, maybe after the lesson there'll be someone. So tonight, I want to talk to you on this topic. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. And for our text reading, I'll be reading to you from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Standing on the promises. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God gives us a lot of promises. And we are very privileged to have such a God who can deliver all the promises that he makes us. You see, I love singing what we call church songs. And I love learning new songs. But there are still all of those favorites of mine. And I just happened to be working one night. And I was in a singing mood, and I was just singing a lot of church songs. And then I came to this particular song. You know, I love singing the church songs. And as I sing them, I pay close attention to the words of the song. Because I believe that it is very important to pay attention to the words of the song. Because I'm a believer that you can sing a lie just as good as you can tell one. So I believe in paying close attention to the words of the song. Because the words are what makes the song. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 15, the Bible says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will sing, and I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So we can see from these scriptures that the songs that we sing, that the words to the songs are supposed to do what the word itself does for us. They're supposed to teach us. They're supposed to do the same thing. The singing is supposed to do the same thing as the word that we read. They're both supposed to teach us and do the same thing. So I was singing these songs to myself, of course. And I came to this particular song, Standing on the Promises of God. And as I began to sing that song and looking and meditating upon the words to that song, and it's a beautiful song. But one verse of that song really stood out to me. And it's that second verse of that song. And that verse says, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. And when I sang that verse and began to meditate and look upon the words of that verse, I thought to myself, wow, those are some powerful words. And as I looked at them and thought about it, I said, there must have been some deep meaning for someone that wrote that song to write such powerful words. There had to be some deeper meaning to that song for him to pen those powerful words. And so I did as most of us do. I went to Google. I went to Google and I looked that song up and I found out that it was written by a man by the name of Russell Kelso Carter, who was born in 1849 and he died in 1928. This man was a star athlete at a military academy. He was an excellent student academically who went on to become a successful teacher and a coach. Then he went on and became a Methodist preacher. And then he went on to medical school, became a doctor. But he was also a magician and a songwriter. And he wrote music and co-wrote songs like Beulah Land. You know, he co-wrote it with Sweeney. And he wrote Feel Me Now. But by far, his most famous hymn was Standing on the Promises of God. And although he wrote this song, it wasn't until he had a bout with his heart that the words of the song really became meaningful to him. This song became meaningful to him because he developed this heart condition. And he went to several doctors, and the doctors told him that there wasn't very much else that they could do for him. And so he began to think about the song that he had written. And he began to meditate upon his own words. And he said to himself, I know God heals through medicine, but I also believe that God can heal you himself. And so he said to himself, God may not choose to heal me physically of my heart condition, but I will stand on every word that he says to me through his word. And so that word, that song, Standing on the Promises, became even more important to him than it was when he first wrote the song. And so tonight we're talking about standing on the promises of God. See, this song reminds us, the Christian, the child of God, the believer, that our daily dependency rests squarely upon the shoulders of God. Rest squarely upon the promises that God has made unto us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, the Bible says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus, and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Did y'all hear what he said there? In other words, if we, the men of God, the ministers who preach and who teach the word of God, has flaws in us. We preach and teach the word of God that has no flaw. The word of God is completely flaw-free. But the men who preach it, we have flaws. So what we're saying is that you can look upon us and you can find things that are wrong in us. You can find our shortcoming. You can see our shortcoming. But don't you dare base the word of God upon what you see in us. Because you can stand on the promises of God. You may not be able to stand on what I say, because I can fall short. Even though my intentions are well, I may not be able to make it. But you can stand on the promises of God, because he is the only one who can guarantee you that whatever he says is going to come true. And there is nothing that can stop it from coming true. So we can stand on the promises of God. You can find fault in us. We can get caught up in affairs. We can fall down. We can be tripped up by sin. Yet the promises of God stand firm. Bad men are false and they flicker from time to time. But God's word neither flickers nor is it false. So when we talk about standing on the promises of God, they are so many. There are so many promises that God makes to us that I could not stand here giving the rest of my life and give you all the promises that God has made for us. So tonight, I just want to share with you one promise. One promise that God has made unto us. Just one. Life and time doesn't permit me to go much further than that. So tonight, I think we may have time just to get one in. This promise that we want to talk about tonight is found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." That's a promise. That's a promise from God that we can stand on. And what a promise. What did he say? The promise he made here is that if you or I remain faithful unto death, He would give us a crown of life. That's the promise he made to us. If we remain faithful unto death, he would give us a crown of life. But did you see how he began that promise? He began that promise with a warning. A heads up warning. He said, you will suffer. He said, the devil will cast you into prison. He said, there you will be tried. And he said, ye shall have tribulation. You will suffer? I mean, are we supposed to stand on the promises of God and be told before that we're going to suffer for it? That we're going to suffer by standing on the promises of God? That's what he said. He said, you will suffer. The devil will cast you into prison. You mean the devil going to have his chance to come into my life and wreak havoc in my life if I choose to stand on the promises of God? You mean I will be tried? That I'm going to be tried for my faith in God, for standing on the promises of God? You know, someone may say, brother, that's just too hard for me. Too much weight upon my shoulders. Too much strain on my brain. Too much suffering. I'm no match for Satan. How can I live with this disease all of my life? How can I be homeless all of my life? How can I bear the temptations that are all around me all of my life? Because what Christ said is that the people of God must look for this. Look for these things to happen as we stand on the promises of God. But hold on a minute. It doesn't get any better. He said, look for a series and a succession of these things. Troubles in this world are going to get worse. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So things are not going to get any better. We can see from the news that we watch on TV each and every day. From the tragedies that we see that happen all around us, all across this country, all across the world. We can see how things are getting worse, and it seems that people are just trying to outdo one another. When we think that just, man, it can't get any worse. Here comes someone who does something even more worse than what we just witnessed. So things are getting worse and worse. So things are going to be hard. They're going to be difficult. They're going to be very trying.